The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille.
Benvenuti! Welcome to the next generation with me, your host, Giulia Stocchetti. Join me as I take you on a journey to discover young stars of the Italian food and wine world. Pronti? Andiamo!
Hello, buongiorno a tutti. Here is Giulia from the Next Generation Italian Wine Podcast. And today I'm so glad to take you to Piemonte, an amazing wine region located northwest of Italy. And we have here today with us Simone Cotto from Pasquale Pellissero Winery. And he is a young, promising winemaker of the Barbaresco region. He owns 8 hectares of vineyards in the Neve area. We are talking about Langhe in the province of Cuneo. And along with his Wonder Woman mother, I would say Ornella, he makes like 50,000 bottles per year. The first bottle was made in 1971, and it was Simone's grandfather's who actually made it, and it's Ornella's dad. Simone is really young. He went to the Enological School of Alba. Since 2019, he is part of the winery of the team at Pasquale Pellissero. Hello, Simone.
Hi.
How are you today?
Oh, good, good.
Nice. So I'm so curious about you and about what you make actually in the Neve, in Barbaresco. So can you please tell us something more about you? Like, what do you do in your life? What do you do at the winery? How old are you?
I'm the winemaker of my cellar with my mom. I work principally in the vineyards and in the cellar. I'm 24, so it's just 4 years that I work full-time in the cellar. I'm young. I had too much to learn.
Oh, wow. We are 24 years old and you work as a winemaker in your family-run business. That's amazing.
Yes, that is like life. My work is my life. There is no shades.
So you're basically taking on with the family tradition in making wines, right?
Yes.
And you produce mostly or only Barbaresco, is that correct?
So we produce like 10,000 bottles of Barbaresco per year and around 7,000-8,000 bottles of Nebbiolo. But we had like 13 different labels because my mom and in the past, my grandfather was a little bit crazy. They loved to produce a lot of different wines. So now we arrive to 13 different labels. We had also, for example, Spumante Alta Langa, 4 different white wines, and 1 wine from Liguria. Because my mom is crazy and both are vineyards in Liguria.
Oh, well, you know, we love crazy people. But wow, that's amazing. So you own vineyards in Piemonte, but also in Liguria. And why Liguria?
Oh, because my mom goes for a little holiday and see these little vineyards for selling, return home and tell me that she's buying that vineyard.
You make the wine in Liguria or you bring the grapes to your winery in Piemonte and you process everything there?
No, we made in Liguria, for call it Cinque Terre, because it's in the Cinque Terre area, and we bring home the bottles. But it's around 300 bottles for the year.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. So literally, like, your work is your life, because your mom went on holiday, and she saw a nice vineyard, and she decided to buy it. I mean, wow, what a family of winemakers and vine growers. Because you also take care of the vineyards, right?
Yes.
I mean, you and your mom.
Yes, of course. Me and my mom, we are only us. So we have to work in the vineyards and in the cellar and made everything. So Saturday and Sunday, there isn't for our work.
What do you prefer? You prefer working in the vineyards or you prefer making wine at the winery?
My father and my grandfather are very great vigneron. So they work in the vineyards all the time, all the life. And I love goes in the vineyards with the tractor. So it's my favorite part of my work. But also made the wine is very great for me. I like the harvest periods, work in the cellar, produce new wine. It's beautiful for me. But if I have to choose, tractor all the life.
So you love tractors. I know a lot of young people who actually enjoy driving tractors so much. You're still in the vineyards, you're still outdoor, working in contact with the nature. That's great that you say that you love harvest, because most people I know that are actually wine producers, like, they get so stressed during harvest time and they're like, oh my God, Julia, is harvest again this year? I got so much stuff to do. The cellar is going to be a mess. But then, I mean, I think that it's the most exciting moment, right, in a winemaker's life, because you have to pick the grapes at the right time. And I mean, you have to start presuming how your wine is going to be for the vintage. So I think it's really, really exciting and really cool, but must be a lot of hard work too, right?
Yes, the harvest period is very stressful for us in the cellar, for the producer, but it's most important periods of the year, because you pick up your work of 1 year, you put in the cellar and you made new wines. So it's stressful because you have to don't mess up everything, 1 year of work. But the joy of picking up the grapes that you grow and made wine with your grapes is incredible.
That's amazing. Basically, your mom was succeeding your grandfather, right?
Yes.
And now there is you as the fourth generation, correct?
Correct. Yes.
So you have like 100 of years of history, more or less, right?
Yes. In 1921, my great-great-grandfather bought the property from Conti Cocito in Naiva for his two sons. One of these sons was my great-grandfather that picked up the vineyards and continues to grow the grapes. But after, my grandfather made also the cellar, so starting making wine, but without bottles in the first period. After, in 1971, he decides to embottle his wine. So the first bottle of Barbaresco came out in 1971.
Oh, wow. And what was the name on the label of that wine?
Oh, Cascina Crosa Barbaresco. That we made already now is our classic Barbaresco, but it's different from the other Barbaresco that we produce, because we still made like my grandfather. So we use the two vineyards chosen by my grandfather, and we use the old big barrel of Pasquale, my grandfather.
Oh, wow. So you still have the old barrels that your grandfather used to make wines?
Yes, we have two twin big barrels of 35 years old. So they are very old, and it's unusually for a big barrel being so old.
But if you still use those big barrels, even if they are like 35 years old, that means that they are aging very, very well, and they're still useful and precious to make your grandfather's wine.
Yes, they are already good.
And so you're still making Barbaresco wines, and especially this like single vineyard wine named after your grandfather, using the historic traditional methods, right?
Yes, we're still traditional. So in, for example, in the 2000, all the producers used barrique for the Barbaresco, for the Parolo in Lange, but we don't like the barrique. I don't like the barrique. I'm sorry for the people that like barriques, but I prefer the traditional style, so big barrel. So we maintain the philosophy of my grandfather. Use the big barrel, take it in the big barrel for the long periods possible. So the Barbaresco aged for 2 years in big barrel.
Oh, nice. I know that you started producing your own Barbaresco, right? With your own label.
Yes.
Can you please tell me something about that?
Oh, it's a crazy idea that came out during the school periods, because every week with my classmates, usually we made a pizza time at dinner, and everybody take one bottle of wine for a drink with the pizza. I was taking Barbaresco and Nebbiolo, but was too much for the pizza. So I decided to make a fresh Langhe Nebbiolo without woods. So very, very easy, and have to be easy because I want that from my wine. That was good with pizza or some dishes like pizza. So easy. Not meat, not something heavy, just something refreshing.
That's amazing. You were still in school, but you were already addressing like the new generation's taste, because you were looking for a nice and easy, that doesn't mean it's not tasty or not good, red wine, red Barbaresco, without using oak, just to be paired also with easier dishes like pizza instead of, you know, meat and stuff. So do you think that's what the young generation prefer nowadays?
It's difficult because when I'm making tasting in the cellar, a lot of time the young people prefer the traditional Langhe Nebbiolo, and the more mature people prefer the youngest Nebbiolo.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. So you think like new generations are more towards the traditional wines, oaked version of Barbaresco, basically?
Yes, I think the new generation will be interested in the wine, because also we had a lot of young people that come for tasting all the wines, and most of the time pick up some traditional wine like Langhe Nebbiolo or Barbaresco. They come specifically for Barbaresco.
Basically, there's a bit of wine culture too among young generations, because they come to see you, to visit you, and they already know what they want to get and what they're about to taste. I mean, at least the denomination, right?
Yes, a lot of young people, but from Piedmont and Lombardy, come for tasting specifically Nebbiolo and Barbaresco. Also, sometimes they taste Barbera, but they come principally for Nebbiolo and Barbaresco.
Sounds like Barbera is a bit like the underdog. What do you prefer between Barbera and Barbaresco?
Barbaresco, of course. Barbera is a great grapes and a great wine. But I'm in the area of Barbaresco, you have to choose Barbaresco, of course.
And talking about like some wine and food pairing, because now I'm getting curious. So with the pizza, you will pair your own label of Barbaresco made only stainless steel.
Yeah.
Whose name is, what's the name of that wine?
It's called Simona, just like me.
Ah, okay. So named after you. Cool.
Yes, because my mom wasn't so happy when I doing this Langhe Nebbiolo. She put my name on the label and tell me if the people don't like it, it's all your fault. So a lot of responsibilities. Some pairing, for example, the Barbera with pork, or usually grilled meat for the barbecue. Barbaresco with a good steak, or for example, rosto or stracotto, but are typical dishes of Piedmont. The dolcetto, that is the typical red wine of Piedmont, is better with pasta during the lunch, with everything.
Nice. So dolcetto is like the everyday wine.
Yes, it's the wine of the farmer, in my idea.
Okay, the wine of the farmer. Interesting. And is there like a special typical dish that you particularly enjoy, that maybe also your grandma used to make, or some special recipe from your area?
I think the best of Piedmont is the tagliarin. It is a typical shape of pasta made only with the red of the egg and the flour. So it's typical of Piedmont. Everybody cook tagliarin in all different type of sauce.
And what's your favorite?
Oh, it's difficult to choose one. I think the better one is the tagliarin with butter and tartufo, truffle.
So you also get some truffles in your area, or?
Yeah, of course. For example, my father is a truffle hunter.
Oh, wow, no way.
So sometimes we had truffle during lunch or dinner, depends.
Oh, lucky you. Wow. It's so fresh. Yeah. It's like the truffle. And is white, is black. What kind of truffle do you get there?
Oh, white truffle is the most important in the Lange area. For example, in Alba, there is the truffle fair for all November and half of December, and is dedicated to white truffle. But we have also black truffle in Roero.
Okay, so Roero, another also wine region, right?
Yes, next to Lange.
Okay. Wow, nice. So you have Barbaresco, you have Barbera, you have truffle. Oh my God. Looks like it's worth to come to visit you and your area to have good food and good wine. So then you get happy. Good food, good wine, and good mood.
In Piedmont, most beautiful thing that you can do is drink and eat a lot.
What do you usually drink when you're hanging out with your friends?
It's difficult because my best friends drink only dolce.
Well, at least they drink wine.
Yes, in Lange it's difficult to drink something that is not wine. In the summer, someone drink some cold beer, but in the summer it's very hot. In winter, everybody drink wine. So usually I drink Lange Nebbiolo with my friend.
Oh, wow. I'm a bit jealous, I must say, because you go for like one of the best wines in the world.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Don't forget to visit our YouTube channel, Mama Jumbo Shrimp, for fascinating videos covering Stevie Kim and her travels across Italy and beyond, meeting winemakers, eating local food, and taking in the scenery. Now back to the show.
So you have truffle, you have wines. It's really nice to hear that also young people are having wine and they really enjoy wines, because nowadays there are so many different trends. How do you see like the future in the wine industry?
I think it will be difficult for a seller like me, because I'm very small, very traditional. It's a family conduction, so the money are not so much. The bigger seller have money and go forward. If the people goes to the small seller for the quality, for the family, for see how the wine is made, there is a future. If they want only the view, the beautiful seller, the bigger seller, is difficult.
Well, but you have a lot of passion. You're a family-run business. I'm sure you make distinctive and high-quality wines. I'm pretty sure you're going to have a bright future in front of you, because in life, when you do things with such a big heart and big passion, everything can be and must be just, you know, bright and nice.
I hope.
So what you can do to improve like the sales and the awareness of your small winery?
Now we start meeting lunch sometimes in the weekend. So we made typical lunch of Piedmont, vitello tonnato, tagliarin, meat cooked with Barbaresco. And during the lunch, we made the tasting so the people can eat in peace and also taste the wine, all the different wines, because there are too many, so they need to eat something during the tasting. But also I made some visits in the cellar for speak about my work, for teach something of my work, and also in the vineyards. I take the peoples and I go in the vineyards. I show my vineyards, my landscape also, because it's a very beautiful landscape here.
Oh, I bet. So like one tourism is a resource for you.
Yes.
Something that you believe in and something to promote not only your winery, but also the territory and all the area.
Yes.
And do you get more Italians as visitors or also foreign people?
I think half and half, because in the summer, a lot of tourists come in Lange, especially in summer and in autumn. In autumn, for the truffle fair in Alba, comes a lot of people. It's crazy. But during the year, like end of the winter, spring, a lot of Italian people come in the cellar for me tasting for made a different day.
Wow, that's really interesting because you get half and half. Means that also a lot of people coming from abroad are interested in visiting you, tasting your wines, and like living the Pasquale Pellissero experience, I would say, because you offer also like some food to be paired with the wines during this kind of lunch you organize at the weekend. And I mean, I bet it's a lot of work, but I feel there's so much passion that you put in what you do. And I'm so curious to get to taste your wines.
Thank you. Yeah, without passion, I think it's not possible to make this work, because become not your work, but your life. You need passion for doing it. Also, when comes the client, they are a little bit scared because we have 10 dogs, but they are all adorable, cute. They just come for petting all the times. During the tasting, come for petting, sit under the chair.
That's so sweet.
It's different from a typical tasting in our cellar.
So it basically is like your family like welcomes other people to enjoy the lifestyle of the place, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's not business. It's just you opening the door of your house, of your cellar, and say, hey, people, here we are. That's us, and we can't wait to share our wines and our passion with you. So that's amazing, really. When can I schedule a visit to your winery?
Normally, the people can come in the cellar whenever they want, because all the times, or me or my mom, we are in the cellar, or most of the time, we are both in the cellar in the vineyard. So the people arrive in the courtyard, phone us, and we run for made the tasting.
Looks like there's this really nice and historical winery in Neve in the province of Cuneo, where you have 8 hectares of vineyards, 100 years of experience in making wines, focusing on Barbaresco and Nebbiolo, so typical grapes, but also like vinified in a new version, in a Simone new style. So the name of the wine is yours, the new style is yours, responsibilities are yours.
Yes, the responsibilities most.
And it's really, I guess, worth to visit and to discover, because really, it's going to be like 360-degree experience in the wine and food world of your area that you're offering. So,
yes.
Thank you so very much, Simone.
Thank you.
It's been a huge pleasure to have you as guest.
Thank you for offering me this opportunity. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Grazie for being with me today and listening to The Next Generation on the Italian Wine Podcast. Alla prossima. Cin cin!